English Through Stories, Missing Person, Episode 10, The Bartender Shows Up. Welcome to Episode 10 of Missing Person. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, from the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. This week's episode is entitled, The Bartender Shows Up. But before we get to that, let's review a little about what happened in the previous episode. In episode 9, called At the Beach, we found that the person who had hit Ann Pardo's car, remember Ann, it's Ann's sister, Sarah, who has been kidnapped, and Ann and her brother-in-law, Bill, are trying to get her free. Our narrator, Dr. Reeves, is helping Ann find her sister. Well, Ann was in a car accident, and she was able to identify the car. And now our private detective, our university professor turned private detective, who becomes a private detective, is going to go looking for this man who owns the red car that hit Anne. He finds out his name is John Costello. Well, before he does that, he goes to talk with another former employee of Pardo Computers. Pardo Computers is the company that Anne and Sarah's parents owned before they died. And unfortunately, he's not able to get any information from the woman whose name is June Brown, the ex-employee of Pardo Computers. He goes down to the beach to talk to her where she works, and she doesn't want to tell him anything. So he's very frustrated. He's very confused. In the current episode, we are going to see Dr. Reeves try to find the man who hit Ann Pardo, John Costello. Let's get started then with episode 10, The Bartender Shows Up. It was time to try a different approach. I decided to find John Costello first and talk to him. I wanted to find out why his car hit Anne's and almost killed her. I knew Costello lived in Santa Monica, so I drove up the freeway and got off near Main Street. I went to the address Officer Cho gave me and knocked on the door. No one answered. I knocked on the apartment manager's door. An old woman answered. "Excuse me, I'm trying to find John Costello. He lives in number 503. Mr. Costello lived, past tense, in 503. He moved out 2 months ago, she said. Do you know where he lives now or where he works? I asked. I don't know where he moved to, but I think he still works at the bar on 4th Street. Thanks for your help. I got back in my car and drove down to the bar. It was only 10 o'clock a.m., and already there were cars parked outside the place. Some people like to start drinking really early. As I walked down the street toward the bar, I heard 2 gunshots. I immediately reached for my gun, which I keep on my belt. The gun is registered, of course, but I only carry it with me when I think there might be trouble. I ran toward the bar, and I heard another sound, like the wheels of a car turning very fast. I slowly opened the front door of the bar and looked around. There was a man standing over a dead body. The floor was covered with blood. "Don't shoot," the man yelled at me. "It's okay. I'm a private detective. What happened here?" I asked. "Someone just ran in here and shot John. I think he's dead," the man answered. "John? The dead man's name is John?" I asked. "Yeah, he was, the bartender. His name's John Costello." "Someone call the police," I said. Did anyone recognize the man who shot Costello? Did anyone see what he looked like? There were four men at the bar. Each man looked at the other. Everyone just shook their head. I really didn't see him very well, said one man. Yeah, it's dark in here. I didn't see his face, said another. I decided not to stay at the bar. I didn't want the police to find out about Sarah's kidnapping and how Costello may have been connected. I drove back toward downtown. I stopped to have lunch at my favorite sushi bar and thought about the case. I was now more confused than ever. This morning, I guessed that John Costello might be the kidnapper. Now Costello was dead. The girl at the beach store might be involved, but I had no evidence of that. I was stuck. At around 2 p.m., I went to the hospital and picked up Anne. She was feeling much better and was happy to see me. Have you heard anything up from Bill about giving the money to the kidnappers? I asked her. No, Bill hasn't called. Well, let's get over there and see what happened. We drove over to Bill and Sarah's apartment, and we were surprised to see two police cars outside the building. Bill was sitting on the steps of the building crying. What happened? Anne said to me as we parked the car. Why are the police here? I don't know, Anne, I said. Let's just try to stay calm and find out what is going on. As we walked toward the apartment building, I had a feeling in my stomach that something was wrong. Very wrong. Oh, Anne, she's dead. She's dead, Bill cried. He jumped up to hug Anne. Sarah's dead. Bill, what happened? I asked. Did the kidnappers call? I saw that Anne was in shock. She couldn't believe what Bill was telling her. No, I made a horrible mistake, Bill said. I got scared, so I called the police this morning. I told them everything. I told them that Sarah had been kidnapped. Then 2 hours later, she was dead. I found Sarah's body in the street in front of the apartment building. Bill began to cry again, and Anne looked like she was going to fall down. I grabbed her arm and helped her sit down on the steps. I turned to the police officer standing next to us. Where was the body found? I asked. In the street, like Mr. Salas said, he answered. We got here about 30 minutes ago. She was already dead. She had been cut in the throat by some type of knife or piece of glass. It was over. I had tried my best, but Sarah was now dead. I thought about all the things that had happened. I even blamed myself. Maybe I should have... But you can't blame yourself. Sometimes you just have bad luck. There was nothing more I could do. I shook hands with Bill and gave Anne one last hug. I decided I would call my friend, Officer Cho, and tell him what I knew. Maybe they could find the person who killed Sarah. As I was about to leave, I noticed a list of names on the mailboxes of Bill and Sarah's apartment building. I don't know why I decided to look at the list. Sometimes you just do the right thing at the right time and get lucky. This was one of those times. I recognized one of the names on the list. I couldn't believe my eyes, so I looked more closely a second time. Yes, I was right. The name on the list read, Costello, John, Apartment 1A. John Costello lived in the same building as Bill and Sarah Salas. Episode 10 of Missing Person begins with our narrator, Dr. Reeves, deciding he's going to find John Costello, the man who hit Ann Pardo's car and put her in the hospital. He decides to go down to Santa Monica, where he has an address for John Costello as living, and he knocks on the door of the apartment. No one answers. No one comes to the door. So he goes to the manager, the person who takes care of the apartment building, and he says he's trying to find this John Costello and that he lives in number 503. When he says he lives in, meaning he lives in the apartment building, or rather the apartment with the number 503. Well, the apartment manager tells Dr. Reeves that John Costello lived past tense in 503. She says past tense, the verb, of course, in the past tense, meaning he no longer lives there. He moved out 2 months ago, she says. To move out is the same as to move, means to go to a different place, to move to a different place. Well, the apartment manager doesn't know where he moved to, but she does know where he works, which is at a bar in Santa Monica on 4th Street. And so our narrator, Dr. Reeves, decides to go and find John Costello at his work. As he's walking up to the bar, he hears two gunshots. A gunshot, two words, gun, G-U-N, of course, and shots, S-H-O-T-S, is when a gun is fired, when a bullet is fired from a gun. That's a gunshot. And the gun is registered, according to Dr. Reeves, meaning the police know that he has the gun. In the United States, in most states where you're allowed to carry a gun, and not all states allow you to carry a gun, you have to usually have to tell the police, you have to fill out a form and be approved to carry a gun. Well, in this case, his gun is approved, and so he goes into the bar, and he pulls his gun out, and he sees that there is a dead body on the floor of the bar. The floor, he says, was covered with blood, meaning there was so much blood on it that it covered the whole floor. "Don't shoot," the man yells at him. This is what you would say when someone has a gun. "Don't shoot," mean "don't shoot me." He says, Dr. Reeves says, "It's okay." And the man in the bar says, "Someone just shot John." And it turns out, we find out, it is John Costello, the man that Dr. Reeves was looking for. He asks if anyone knew what happened, and he says everyone just shook their head. To shake your head, shook is the past tense. Shook is S-H-O-O-K. To shake your head, or when we say they shook their head, we mean that they said no, that they moved their head from side to side, right to left, indicating that they didn't know what happened. Well, Dr. Reeves decides to leave before the police arrive, and he goes to his favorite sushi bar to think about the case. A sushi bar is a place where they serve Japanese raw fish, which is called sushi. And the sushi bar is a place where the sushi chefs stand behind and you sit right in front of the chef and they give you the food you want. It's a type of restaurant. It doesn't mean they serve alcohol, although they might serve alcohol in a sushi bar. In any case, our narrator, Dr. Reeves, is confused. He says he doesn't know what happened. The girl in the beach where he talked to last time might be part of this, but he was stuck. To say I am stuck, S-T-U-C-K, can mean two things. It can mean I can't move. For example, I'm in a car accident and my door won't open. I'm stuck in the car. But here, I am stuck means I'm confused. I don't know what to do next. Well, he decides to go and pick up Anne from the hospital, and Anne and Dr. Reeves drive over to Bill and Sarah's apartment. And there are police cars outside of the apartment. Of course, both Dr. Reeves and Anne are worried. Dr. Reeves says to Anne to stay calm, meaning stay relaxed. Don't get excited. Unfortunately, they have some very bad news. They learn from Bill that Sarah is dead and that her body was found in front of the apartment building. Bill says that before he called the kidnappers, and he was supposed to call the kidnappers and leave them money, the ransom money, the money to get Sarah back, he decided to call the police and tell the police everything. The kidnappers told him not to call the police, you might remember from our previous episode. Well, Bill is crying because his wife has just been found dead, and Anne, who's Sarah's sister, also is very much affected by this news. She begins to have difficulty walking, and in fact, Dr. Reeves says it looked like she was going to fall down, meaning fall on the ground. At the end of this episode, Dr. Reeves says that he has tried his best. He says, I had tried my best, meaning I had done the best that I can. He blamed himself, meaning he said that he was the person who did the wrong thing. He was at fault, we would say. He made a mistake. But he says you can't blame yourself. As he was about to leave, meaning as he was getting ready to leave, he was just going to leave, he looks at the names on the apartment building mailboxes. And he says he got lucky. To get lucky means that something good, something fortunate happens to you. And he says, I couldn't believe my eyes, meaning he looked at something and it was incredible. He doubted it was true. I couldn't believe my eyes. One of the names on the mailboxes was John Costello, the man who had just been killed at the bar. Now we have two bodies to explain, John Costello as well as Sarah Salas. That's all we have time for on today's English Through Stories. Remember, our other podcasts can be found at ESLPOD.com, English as a Second Language podcast, as well as our TOEFL podcast at TOEFLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, I'm Jeff McQuillan. We'll see you on the next episode of Missing Person. English Through Stories is a production of the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. This program may not be resold or redistributed without the express written permission of the Center for Educational Development.